talk through a few bits leading on from our work around community and culture. So I'm going to sort of... you're spoiling it. Now it's coming up before I've spoken. Can everyone just avert their eyes a moment? So it's really nice to be here. For those who may not know me, my name's Chris. I'm one of the family here at Hope and I'm part of the 915. But it's really great to be with you here this morning. Just on the note of kind of community and culture, wasn't it lovely to be together as one church last week? Wasn't that really cool for those of us that were here? Just great to be able to go on that journey together and see Jim taking over from Richard, thanking Richard, Jonathan coming into eldership. It was great to see that kind of sense of what God is doing in that next phase for us. And I know the guys aren't here, but wasn't the food also incredible? Yeah? Wasn't the food incredible? So can we, I know they're not here, but they will feel this in spirit. Can we just give them a round of applause? Because they did a great job for us last week. And if you see Dave, if you see any of the guys from the Good Soil Trust, please do say thank you to them when you see them, because they served us so well and served us, without money exchanging hands. It was servant heart, which was really amazing. So, community and culture. As you know, we are taking some time to look at what is community and culture to us here at Hope. What does it look like now, and what does it look like going forward? What does the future hold around how we do community together and build such a positive culture? That's not to say that it's bad. I just want to be clear about that. We're not saying that at the moment it's broken or it's bad, but we're saying that there's room to improve. And I think, when myself and Joel came a month or so ago to talk about the survey, which I'll touch on in a minute, we acknowledge that there's post-COVID, that was a challenging time, and maybe post that time, we kind of now need to look at what community means and how we reinvent it a little bit. Is that okay? So that's sort of the premise. Now, in March, we then put a survey together. Hopefully you remember that. Some of you would have filled it in and completed it. Obviously, that was, what we wanted to do there was go on the journey together. Your voice is important. We're doing this together. It's not a done-to process. This is us working through that together and finding what God's got for us next in how we do community. So today, what we want to do is share some of the results of those surveys that you completed for us, look at and examine some of the themes in that survey, and then we want to do an activity with you. So it'll be time to get creative. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Should we try that again? No, we've got an activity to do together. Ooh. Yes, now we've got it. Okay, exciting, isn't it? Exciting. So we're going to share, this next slide is going to share some of the highlights of those surveys. It's not extensive, it's not exhaustive, okay? But I didn't want to take you through my PowerPoint slide deck of 70 slides, because I thought, we probably want to get home at some point. So there's three slides, okay? Promise you, three slides only. That we're going to talk through. And the first one is just some of the highlights of what the survey brought out. And then we're going to look at some of the themes from that and then some next steps. So it's a bit of a jazzy infographic. I have to say, I had quite a lot of fun putting this together and probably just could carry on doing this. So first one, top left, is that 115 people completed the survey. That's pretty impressive. And that was, that's our adult population. Probably about 65% filled in a survey of those that received it. That's a pretty good strike rate for a survey. Just to kind of give you the context, surveys, if you put them out normally, you would expect between 20 and 30% response rate. We doubled that. So that's pretty impressive, first of all. So we know this information, this data, is pretty reflective of what you told us. And pretty reflective of us as a body together at Hope. So, First one there, 75% agree that our vision and values are clear. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's a pretty good kind of majority saying that those vision and values are clear. And I hope, you know, you appreciate the glasses, vision, values, yeah, is that okay? Just to point out the obvious. So that's pretty good. Going over to the far left, two-thirds of you feel connected to your congregation. Again, that's good. That's positive. We're in the positive there. That's the majority. That doesn't mean to say there isn't still work to do around that. Moving to the bottom left, so 79% of you say that serving is important to you. Just ignore the kind of alcoholic reference of the man holding some kind of martini or something. Or maybe that's red wine, actually, isn't it? Probably. But 79% say that serving is important to you. So we know that there is a heart within us to serve, to love, to care for others. How do we make that a reality? How do we continue that? How do we create opportunities for that to happen? Then we move across into the middle with the hands. So 94% of you say that fellowship during the week is important. 94% is pretty high. Like, that's a strong indication that you want fellowship during the week, which is really interesting and will lead us on to some of the reflections and where we're going next. You want that connection outside of Sundays. And we talk about that a lot, don't we? We don't say that Sundays is it, and this is what church is, Sundays. It's life. It's life together. And so that's a really good positive indication of that. Top right-hand corner, on average, 80% of us see another Hope member, so another person, at least once a week outside of Sundays. On the face of it, I think that's pretty good. Like, we want to be connected together, don't we? And I know our contexts are all different. Our lives are all different. And so connecting with others in the church isn't always straightforward. We've got other things that we're doing. I get that. The one bit I do want to say, though, about that is that it means that 20% of people said that they don't see anybody else from Hope outside of a Sunday. That, to me, is a challenge, is a worry. Because where are those 20% people connecting and who are they connecting with? Or are they feeling isolated and wanting and craving that support? So there's something there to consider. Then the big orange shield. So over 100 of you have people at Hope that you trust. I think that's really important that you trust and that you can look to for support. And over 100, given that 115 completed it, again, that's a really high percentage there. And I think that fills me with quite a lot of joy. Because I look around and think, yeah, you know, there are people here that they know there are people they can rely on and trust to go back to when they need it. And then the final one on the far right-hand side, 81% of you happy with the timings of your Sunday services. I mean, who wouldn't be happy at the 11:15 because you get a lie-in? So to be honest, if you answer that any other way at the 11:15, there's a problem. But no, just in terms of Sundays, people, the majority of us are happy with how that's working and how the services are set out. So from this, and as I say, it's not extensive and not exhaustive in terms of all the results, but there are three things really that kind of then stood out that we need to look at and consider. One is that there's a desire, you've shown a desire to have groups of a small size to connect more closely to one another. That's clear in the results. The second is that you want us to better communicate all that is going on in the Hope community and beyond. And that sort of means that, you know, so that we are aware of and understand what's going on, even if we're not involved in it, and being really open and sort of transparent about that. So that's the second one. And then the third one is that we need to look at how we present more opportunities for you to serve in the life of the church. Because that's really clear from that bottom left, that it's important to you to serve. So how do we empower you, engage you to be able to do that with us and walk with us on that? So those are sort of the three areas that we are going to take forward from this. And then I'm going to hand over to Joel now, who's going to talk through some of the themes that came out of some of the free text kind of questions that were at the end of the survey, where you could basically write whatever you liked. So that has brought up some themes from that as well. So Joel, over to you.
Brill. Good morning, church. Hi. For those that I haven't met, I'm Joel. So really nice to meet you. Part of the 9:15 normally. So great to be with you this morning. If we could just click onto the next slide, please, Steve. That'd be great. So as Chris mentioned, there were some, as four sort of free text questions that you were asked on the survey. So this means you could add nothing, you could add a word, or you could add 200 words to share in terms of feedback with the church. So thank you for all of those that that contributed to the survey in this way, because it was really helpful. It gave some meaning behind some of the other answers in the survey, and it helped us build hopefully a really clear picture in terms of where are we as a church. So there's four questions that we asked. The first was around, what was it like coming to church after COVID? For some of us, that meant returning to this church, Hope Church. For others, it meant joining Hope Church after COVID. So some different experiences in the room. We asked, what do you value about this church? So what is it you feel, you know, we're doing well? What is it that that excites you about coming along to Hope Church and engaging? The watering can represents opportunities for growth. So we also asked, you know, what opportunities do we have? Where can we do more? Where can we perhaps do better? I think we can say that's a fair question to ask, and a good question for us to ask ourselves. And then the final question was a bit of anything else on your mind? Is there anything else that you want to share with church, with leadership, in terms of where you're at and where you feel the church is at? So these four questions gave us 5,000 words of text. So thank you for giving us that much stuff to analyze. Interestingly, 5,000 words, that's the same amount of words that's in Hebrews. So a big chunk of text for us to really work through. And actually that final category, that anything else you'd like to share, that garnered the biggest response. So 1,800 words of the 5,000 was just stuff on your mind. So clearly as a church, we have opinions, we have thoughts. There are things that you wanted to share and that we wanted to share. So thank you very much for contributing in that way. And three main themes came out of the sort of the comments that were provided. I'm going to refer to some notes here. I don't apologize for that. I really want to make sure that what I'm saying represents what we as a church were saying in that survey. So the first theme that came out was the challenge either connecting after COVID or reconnecting after COVID. And we use those, I think it's important that we use both of those words, connecting and reconnecting, to highlight that actually we had some people that were part of Hope pre-COVID, and then coming back was a process of reconnecting. For others, they came to Hope Church after COVID, and it was a process of connecting for the first time. So there's different experiences that we have across our congregations in terms of coming to Hope Church after COVID. And it's fair to say that a range of different emotions came across when asked about what's the biggest challenge connecting with church after COVID. We had frustration, we had concern at one end of the spectrum, and then we had hope and gratitude at the other. And the range of emotions, I think, probably represents the range of experiences that we all had during COVID as well. So I wanted to highlight that there wasn't a single consistent view coming back to church after COVID. There were some that found that a real challenge, and others that really didn't. And that's okay. The other sort of challenge connecting, the sort of second point in the orange section, is a sense of disconnection coming to church, reconnecting with church community post-COVID, due to sort of some of the changes in congregational dynamics. And by congregational dynamics, we mean sort of the split of having a 9:15, an 11:15, an evening service, to the sort of the newness that came with that. For some, that was an easy transition, and for others it wasn't an easy transition. So I think it's important that we highlight that and call that out and are really transparent around the different sort of emotions and feelings around the structural change that we've had at Hope Church. And then the third theme in terms of challenge was sort of a strong desire for us to ensure that we've got that really welcoming environment when others step into our Hope Church building, making sure it's an inclusive environment. And this really came across for two sort of people groups, generally speaking. So those that were new to the church, so those that are visiting or have decided to be part of the Hope Church, and those that may feel marginalized. And again, that word marginalized covers a spectrum of people. There's not sort of one type that fit into that category. So making sure, a strong desire to make sure that we're a welcoming church and that we are an inclusive church as well. That's section one, the challenges. There was also a set of this is really good. This is what I really appreciate and value in terms of the Hope Church community. And those things were that we have a focus on Jesus. So I think that's a pretty solid foundation for us. That's a good thing, and we should be proud of that. Hopefully that means we're doing something right. And a solid foundation based on biblical values as well. Fellowship was appreciated. So as well as being a challenge, it was also highlighted by others as actually something that some felt we were doing well. Particularly highlighting support through. Thank you very much. Is that still coming through? Okay. Yep. Okay. Good. Particularly highlighting fellowship through some of the challenges of life. So that was a core theme that came through as well. People feeling supported through some of the challenges of just what we go through in our sort of weekly lives. The other value was our times of worship together and our times of prayer together as well. So I feel like there's some really solid foundational values here, which we would, if we were starting a church today, we would want to be part of that church. Really good foundation for us to build from. So that's excellent. The final area then, a sort of recurring theme was this desire to dig deeper, to go a little bit further relationally. And this was really around opportunities for intentional community building, for deeper relationships beyond Sunday services. So sort of called it beyond Sunday groups, because any other title I give it, like home group, small group, I feel is a bit suggestive of what the solution might be or what the next steps might be. And that's really not the purpose of today. Really, we're calling out that there is a variety of views. But one of the themes was, what about outside of Sundays? How do we do life together outside of sort of services? That's something that we're going to focus on in sort of the next activity, because this theme was recurring. It kept coming up. We could call them home groups, small groups, life groups, cell groups. I'm sure you can come up with other names too. But essentially, there was a desire for, how do we share life together? How do we pray for one another? How do we study the Bible together, and how do we support one another with discipleship through life? Okay, so three core themes that came out through the 5,000 words that was shared through this survey, three core themes that came out. And there's opportunity this morning for us to hone in on one and unpack that sense of groups. How do we do life outside of a Sunday morning? And that's what we'd really like to spend some time practically this morning, diving a little bit deeper into. Steve, if we're okay to go on to the next slide, I'll sort of frame where we're going next. It's going to be a little bit messy. It's going to entail getting out of our seats and moving around and talking and hopefully having some really honest conversations in your groups. We've got some tables at the back, and nobody move yet. But we're going to ask you to sort of leave your seats, gather around a table. And as a church family, we really want to envision the future of hope groups. That's hope groups, not home groups. Okay, what we need as individuals will probably look a little bit different. And that's why we're really interested in gathering your thoughts and helping envision the future for outside of our Sunday meetings. So I'm going to ask you to think about three questions in your groups, and we'll give you some time then to work in groups and to get creative on flip charts. We've got sticky notes, we've got pens, get drawing, get writing, get discussing. But ultimately, three questions. What is the best name for our groups? Any thoughts there on how we should position those? Question number two, what makes you feel comfortable in someone else's home? So there was a desire in the survey for meeting in homes. I think that has been a challenge, hospitality post-COVID, something that maybe we've dropped a little bit. And also with this great resource as a building in the granary, it's really easy for us to sort of use this, and that is a good thing. But also it can become something that restricts us opening up our homes to others at times. So if you are going to someone else's house, what is it that makes you feel comfortable? For me, it's having a lock on the toilet door. So that's something that gives me confidence going to someone else's house. I'm not going to be burst in. It might be, you know, Josephine loves a herbal tea. So a good range of herbal teas. A lock on the toilet beats herbals. Okay, that's good to know. But what is it for you? And there's a bit of humor there to that question. But actually, there's a seriousness too. You know, actually, what would make you want to go into someone else's home and open up and just do life together? Could be food. It could be actually knowing that I'm going to have a chair because my back's bad, and that's a real problem for me. We need to be open and honest with each other about what is it that's going to enable us to open our homes and do hospitality as a family together in a smaller setting. Final question, what would excite you most about launching groups? So we've got an ambition to kind of, I say launch rather than relaunch, because relaunch suggests we're just sort of reigniting something we've done before, and that may be the case, but it might be that we take a slightly different format. This is why we're asking this general question. What is it that excites you most? We've got an aim to try and launch in some sort in September, so we've got a little bit of time to unpack what is it that we need as a community to best serve us and others that we want to bring into Hope Church too. Okay, so three questions around names, comfort, and what would excite you, what's going to best serve you. Okay, we're going to gather, there's some tables at the back, we're going to empower you to get into tables, roughly eight around a table, okay, that's going to work with the numbers that we've got here. Have a conversation, but get creative, okay, just sort of up the ante a little bit and encourage some creativity, get those creative juices flowing. We will also then give a prize to the team that we think is the most creative, done some great teamwork and some quality flip charts, okay? So let's get creative. The prize is chocolate. That should be a motivation, I hope. And we'll have probably five, six, 7 minutes or so to work in groups of eight. So organize yourselves, move around the room, and then we will regroup, and Jim's going to share for a few minutes with us as a church. Clear? Great. Okay.
Thank you. moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will see of the goodness of God.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. my soul worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul.
Right. Just giving you a 3-minute warning, okay? Three more minutes. Thanks.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul sings your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Okay. I hate to bring conversations to a close because there's a great buzz in the room, which is sort of, you know, interesting given the topic of conversation. But if you could draw your artwork to a close and then come and take your seats, that would be great. And then I'll just talk through some of the next steps from here. Great. So, firstly, just a massive thank you for your inputs on that. Genuinely, a huge thanks, because what we're going to do from here is take what you've written down. We've done the same with the 9:15 congregation this morning. We're going to do the same again this evening with the 6:30 congregation, and then look at what's coming through from the ideas that you've shared. So thank you, first of all, is the first thing, because it will help us on the next stages. What we want to do from there, once we've looked at at what you've shared is essentially write up a proposal around what these groups are, what they look like, and what we want to do going forward with them to make them a success. We'll then share that. And our aim, just to give you an idea of timelines, because I think we all like a bit of a time, otherwise it's just, you know, something in the ether out there, is that mid-September, is our intention then to launch this. So we've got a few months, we know the summer, often we're all away, we've got the Catalyst Festival, etc. We want to then come back and launch this in September. So that's our timeline, that's our aim with this work. And again, if you've got any other thoughts, views, opinions, reflections on what we said today, the survey results, then please come and speak to me, speak to Joel, speak to Jim, because we're keen to keep hearing from you. We want to go on this journey together, as I said before. That's a key objective for us. This isn't us just coming up with something and then landing it on the table in front of you. This is about us collectively together finding our way. Is that okay? Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Jim, who's going to kind of come off the back of that and share a few things with us. Jim.
Thank you, Chris. Haven't they done just a stellar job with this survey and stuff? So I just want to pick up on one of the things that we've looked at today. And to be honest with you, it's probably less applicable to many of us in the room. So if this doesn't make any sense to you, doesn't relate to you at all, just don't worry about it. But one of the things, probably one of the strongest kind of things that people found hard in the survey and that came out that was more of a negative was the transition, the coming out of COVID and the transition into congregations and, oh, where are my friends, and that sort of thing. Now, I'm looking around the room, and most of you are new since then. But I still think it's worth saying. And what we wanted to say was, you know, coming out of COVID, getting into this building and so on, figuring out kind of how to meet when you had to have 2 meters apart, and all of that stuff, if you remember those days, was a difficult time. And I think we didn't communicate well why we were doing what we were doing. And I think actually, maybe not so many in this room, but certainly in the 915, I think that caused some pain for some people. And I think I want to, for my part in it and representing the team, apologize for some of the kind of confusion. The truth is, what comes out of a survey like this is that all of you are really passionate about Jesus' church. And that passion will sometimes be, right, gung-ho, I'm with you. Some of it is, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? And so I think I just wanted to sort of be real about that and apologize for not, maybe not being as clear as we could on that. I think one of the issues is, you know, when you have children, and there are times when you have to take your child for an injection or they have to take a tablet that's not very nice, you're sort of sorry about the pain it causes, but the injection's worth it. Do you know what I mean? So the communication, I think, we didn't do great, but actually the thing, I think God was speaking. Do you know what I mean? And I've been reading a book recently, The Church of Tomorrow by John McGinley, and he starts his book off referring to a prophetic word that came, and in this prophetic word he saw a wooden structure that was being built, and people were being really busy building this wooden structure. They're working really hard, they were going away and praying about this wooden structure, and they were building it, but they were sort of perplexed because it wasn't working. They would pray about it, they would put all their effort into it, but they'd go home and it wasn't working. And as they were reflecting on that and thinking about that, but working hard still on the structure, hammers and nails, a body of people arrived, started singing and dancing. And as this body of people arrived, the wooden structure got knocked down. And there was, for some, it was devastating. The wooden structure got knocked down, and they, what do we do with this? And some would get the wood back and start hammering it together again, and how can we rebuild this wooden structure? Others even got angry with other people, saying, you knocked this down, it was your fault, and it was all a bit of that. But what they didn't do was listen to the song. So the song that the group of people were singing was, Join the Dance of the Redeemer. join the dance of the redeemed. And there was a prophetic word saying that God was wanting to do a new thing amongst us. And some of our structures have to make way for this new thing. And I think that is really applicable to us. As we came out of COVID, or even in COVID, many of us started thinking, what is it about? Started to feel a dissatisfaction with just going back to what we were. We thought, now we want something that reflects better what it is to be a kingdom body. Do you know what I mean? A group of people that are connecting to each other, that are growing in relationship and serving Jesus and seeing that multiply out into their communities. And so we've gone into congregations, and the purpose for that going into congregations is to seek to grow in that relationships with each other. In smaller gatherings, it's easier to connect and be in relationship with each other. We're learning today that we need to see that multiply out and do smaller congregations and communities, because we can't possibly really get to know each other. If you think you're going to make friends on a Sunday morning and get to know each other, well, you're probably in cuckoo land. And it's about when you invite them into your home. It's about when you get to know them, when you actually unpack life with them, that you get to know each other. So we want to do that. But the reason why we've gone to the congregations is so that we can multiply out and grow in our relationships with each other, but also to give us room to grow. Who was it that said, I can't remember who it was, I think it was one of the Archbishops of Canterbury some years ago, that said the church is the only institution that exists solely for its non-members. And we want to be a body that are able to make space for growth. I don't know if you, when it was lovely, Richard handing over the leadership of church last week. And one of the things Richard spoke to me about probably maybe a year or so before COVID struck, he said, Jim, I feel like God's spoken to me about where he wants us to be. And it's 3-2-1. I said, what? He said, it's 3-2-1. I want us to grow. I want us to be a church of three congregations, 250 people, one church. And actually, do you know what? Richard handed the church, the leadership of the church over to me, having achieved that. That's what we are. Do you know what I mean? We are one church. We're about 250 people, probably a bit more, and we're three congregations. What I want to say is, where's God pushing us to now? And we're feeling like this next season, primarily what we're about, our vision remains the same. We want to be people that pursue God, that serve people, and export hope. That's what we do. That's what we're about. To unpack that and say, okay, then what are we going to do then? Do you know what I mean? What we're going to do is that there's three mountains that we feel God is asking us to climb. Mountain number one is that we push into multiplication and we plant more congregations and more churches. In order to do that, we as individuals have got to get good at multiplying and sharing our faith and seeing people become Christians. I'm thrilled that the guys that aren't here today, part of the Sunday night group, have launched out into a community in Tolladine and have started a small community group there, and they've been going for a little while. Two people have already got saved on the back of that community group that have gone out. I just want to encourage you, multiplying out, planting churches, planting congregations is still the number one best way to reach our world. And so we're going to, you know, resource and get behind that. If you want to get involved in the Tolladine community, come and chat to me, and we'll find a way of doing that. We had a meeting, didn't we, just before you went back to Jamaica, and you back off your jolly now. We're looking at, can we relaunch something into Dines Green and multiply over there? And so mountain number one, multiply out, plant congregations, plant churches. So we want to start raising up the profile within our family of churches, Catalyst family of churches. We feel God has put in front of us, and you'll hear about this if you come to the Catalyst Festival a little bit more. And as a movement, we're saying, how do we train in this next season 1,000 church planters to go out and plant churches? So that's what we're doing. That's what we're about. That's the mountain number one. Mountain number two is we want to rediscover what kingdom community is like. Do you know what I mean? And one of the things, it was probably happening a little bit before COVID, but certainly one of the effects of COVID is, and we've alluded to it already today, is that our homes, we've become a bit isolated. And we need to open our homes up again and really build community. I said in our group, I don't know if I'm going to win the chocolate, but I tried. I said in our group, do you know what? I've got no appetite for shallow groups. My enthusiasm, what excites me is to be in a group where people know me and I know them and we're real with each other. And we can find a context where we encourage, motivate and challenge each other to be on the mission field that God's called us to be on. So we want to press into that community thing. The third thing that we feel God is, the third mountain that we feel God is calling us to climb is that we want to push in again. We're already doing it. We want to push in to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, being charismatic isn't just having guitars. Do you know what I mean? No, it isn't even that. You know, being charismatic is about the gifts of the Holy Spirit being at work in the bodies. Great, I'm going to tongue and interpretation. We want to see miracles, signs and wonders. We want to push into that. In order to do that, we've got to challenge each other, motivate each other, and press into God and grow our faith. When the disciples couldn't do that stuff, Jesus said, "Bah, how long have I got to put up with you, you unbelieving lot?" Do you know what I mean? So we've got to grow our faith to see that stuff. And so there's three mountains. And I'm asking you to climb those mountains with me, do you know what I mean? And let's move forward. And this conversation today is just a huge part of that, that we want to press into and see that. And particularly that second thing of rediscovering community. And that there's challenges with it, isn't there? It's not going to be easy, do you know what I mean? But we're trusting that. As these guys are working through, okay, what does it look like? What do we call them? All of those things to rediscover what it is to gather together and build community. Does that make sense? Can I pray for us? One of the other things, I've been doing one-to-ones with people. I came off my sabbatical last year. I don't know when it was. And one of the things I felt God speak to me about was to gather and meet with everybody individually. I've met with quite a lot of people individually, not everybody yet. So if you haven't yet met with me, book an appointment and let's meet up. Because we want to hear that the will of God is discerned by the body of Christ, not by the guy at the front. It's the body of Christ that discerns the will of God for a church. So we want to hear. And one of the things I discovered in those one-to-ones is actually when people have got something to say, they don't always find it easy. They feel like, oh, am I being critical? Well, do you know what? I want you to know you can say stuff. I mean, and I will do my very best not to be insecure, not to be defensive, and listen, because we want to discern the will of God together. Do you know what I mean? If you want to moan about stuff that is irrelevant, then I might just tell you it's irrelevant. But if you want to talk about stuff, say, do you know why aren't we doing this or why do we do this? Let's talk about it. Let's start because it's important, isn't it? Let me pray. Jesus, we do want to thank you for the privilege of being in your body. Lord, I thank you that the people of Worcester, the people of our region, the people of the nation, this nation, the nations of the world, God, are the people that outside of Christ, it's your people that are going to show them what your kingdom's like. So would you help us to build communities that well reflect and show the world what you're like. What your love is like, what your passion is like, what you are like as a person, what you like and dislike, what it is to be a community of justice, what it is to be a community, God, of reality and love. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to put all of our hands to the plow, that we would see that come about in greater measure in our church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, folks. I mean, have we judged? Yeah. I tried to bribe the judge, which I think went down. It backfired on me. I just want to win.
It's not just the taking part that counts, is it? It's the winning. So, my glamorous assistant here. Should we give it up for Isla? Yeah. So... here is the winner. Is this the winner? Yeah. And what? And why? So here's the winner. Which team was this? Come on, hands up. Yeah. Oh, Edwin's claiming it. Good. A few more. Excellent. Why did you like this one, Ina?
I liked how it curved round and round and round.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. Look, and a little flower in the middle. Very nice indeed. Excellent. So, do you want to go and give these guys the chocolates over here? And let's give them a round of applause. Very creative. Good work. Good work. Right, I think we're done there. Yeah, excellent. Well, it's been great to be with you guys. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And, see you all soon. We'll be back here next Sunday. Thanks.